Come on, guys. Come sit right up here. Yep, right up here in the middle. Yep, face this way. Wow, we have a big group this morning. That's great. I'm so happy. Can you guys see? We have enough room? Okay, so today we are starting a new sermon series in the Adult Big Church. And so we're going to kind of do something that will go along with what Pastor Michael's going to talk about. So have you ever felt confused, overwhelmed, worried, scared? Have you guys ever felt any of those things? Raise your hand if you have. Yeah, I think all of us have, right? I have too. So I know that in a couple of weeks, you can put your hands down. In a couple of weeks, school is starting back, right? And we have some kids who are going from like not going to school to starting K-4, starting K-5. And that can be a hard time for kids and for parents. We have some kids that are going from elementary school into middle school. And again, that can be a big change. We have kids that are just going from one grade to the next grade. And so sometimes we're anxious and worried about those times and about the things like, how will our new teacher be? Will we still have our same friends there at school, or did they move away? And thinking about all the different things. Also in our everyday lives, there's just things that happen to us. Like sometimes we have a pet that dies, or something doesn't go the way we want it to. We fight with our siblings. And when we have those things in our life, it can bring confusion and chaos. So chaos is just kind of like disorder and confusion. Have you guys heard that word before? Chaos? That's going to be a word that you're going to hear several times today. So think about that. So I'm going to show you a little illustration about what that can look like in our lives, okay? So think about this as being our life. Things that I'm going to pour into the water will represent some of those things in our lives. You like blue? That's a pretty color, isn't it? So let's pour some of this in. How's that water looking now? Very blue, right? But there's just a lot of stuff floating in it. Yes, on the top, in the bottom, everywhere. Brown. Yeah. And here's some things that look good, sparkly and pretty. But all of these things are, all these things are in our lives. And day to day, it can create confusion in our lives, and it can create those worries and all those things. And sometimes we don't know what to do, right? It's just a, feels like it could be a big mess. Look at that. Would you like to drink that water? Me either. It's a mess. Yes, clean water. But Jesus came and he died on the cross for us, and he came so that we can seek him and pray to him. And when we ask him, Jesus, we want you to come into our lives. We want you to help us to create that confusion in our lives and to take that away, he does. And so he can come and he can help us filter out that bad stuff and bring peace to our lives. Filter out all the worry that we have or the fear when we ask him. So how can you seek God so that he can help you do this in your life, so that he can do this and make you clean? By praying, that's right, by reading your Bible, coming to church and learning from Miss Betsy and Bad Kenny, in your salvation series that you're doing right now about how Jesus came to die on the cross for us. So he can help us to use those things and to be able to have clean hearts again, to filter. That looks a lot cleaner, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. So how does he do that? A lot of times there's things in the world people tell you, go do this or go do that, or you should disobey your parents. They give you things that they think that you should do, but those things are not wise, right? Those things are foolish things. And so we need to go to God's word and ask him, God, what do you want for us to do? We want you to give us your wisdom, right? Because God says in the Bible, like, obey your parents. So we know if the world's telling us, well, you can disobey, you can do whatever you want to, that's something that's foolish, right? But if we go to God's word, he'll say, obey your parents. And that's his wisdom for our lives. So this week and the next few weeks, as you're coming up to school, as you're starting this new school year, think about praying to God and reading your Bible and asking him for wisdom so that every day you'll know what to do so that your life will reflect him and so that you can worship him and praise him with your lives and honor him. Okay? Let's pray before we go. Father God, we thank you for today. Thank you for this new sermon series that we're starting. And I pray that this week we will each seek you, that we will seek your wisdom, and that when things in our life seem to overwhelm us and want to take control of our lives, that you will help us to remember that we need to return back to you. Pray, Father God, that you will give us wisdom this week and that you will walk with us through this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can we say thank you to our children's ministry director, Rachel? As Rachel said, we're starting a new series today called From Chaos to Clarity. I don't know about you, but I look around our world and I see chaos at every turn, right? We have chaos in our school systems. We have chaos in the world as a whole, right? Wars and rumors of wars. There is clearly chaos in our political system. I mean, we have politicians who, in order to gain votes from people, will go on stage and rap on stage loud and say vulgar things to gain plaudits from people. There is chaos everywhere. Today, as we begin a new journey in our series, From Chaos to Clarity, we're going to explore, over the next few weeks, the letters to the church in Corinth. Now, the Corinthian church had so many issues that Paul had to write them twice. So, obviously, there's some things that we can learn from the Corinthian church. Now, some things I want you to understand about the Corinthian church. Number one. On Paul's second missionary journey around AD 50, Paul planted this church. This church in Corinth mattered to Paul. It was an important church to him. The people were important to him. Paul spent a significant amount of time in Corinth. He preached the gospel. And again, he established the church. The Corinthian church quickly grew because it was a very populated and bustling area. But there are two main challenges that the Corinthian church faced: division and false teaching. Do we have that in the church today? When we look around at our brothers and sisters of the faith, you know, in different denominations, we see division and false teaching, don't we? This is a real problem, and Paul addresses it, so this might help us a little bit. The other thing to know about Corinth is Corinth was a trade hub. It was an important city. There were lots of people coming through Corinth that had all kinds of goods and things to sell. There were a lot of wealthy people in the city of Corinth. And the church had a lot of wealthy people in it. A lot of wealthy people. We're going to see that Paul brings clarity to the chaos that's happening inside the Corinthian church. There's a lot of people who have their own opinions on how things should be done, and they're doing this. They have a leader that they're listening to and then another leader that they want to listen to, and so those people are butting heads with each other. Now, I want to point out that like with our series in Romans a few weeks ago, I can't bring out in just 4 to 6 weeks all of the things that 1st and 2nd Corinthians has to offer us. There is a whole lot more that I could give you if I could do this for a whole year. So what I would encourage you to do, read this book as a family. Read both of these letters as a family together. Take it a chapter or two at a time every day and break it down and talk about it, because you will get a whole lot more out of this series if you're reading the book, the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians together as a family. This morning, we're going to see what Paul tells us is the source of wisdom and understanding. Now, keep in mind, what were the two things that the church was struggling with? Division and false teaching. So the people of Corinth needed to understand where true wisdom and understanding came from. You can't root out false teaching if you don't know where wisdom is ultimately coming from, can you? We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, so if you want to open your Bibles and be ready, we're going to get there in just a moment. In this passage, Paul contrasts the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God found in the cross of Christ. If you've not read Paul's writings too much, there's something that's going to be confronted, you're going to be confronted with over the next several weeks. Paul is a no-holds-barred preacher. Paul is harsh and direct. And I know for some of us, we like to have preachers who are all nice and frilly and they make us feel good. The words of Paul are not going to make you feel good. They're going to challenge you, and they should. So be prepared. This morning, we're going to do something a little different for reading God's word, something that the church has done for a long time. If you would stand, we're going to read this together. I'm going to read it, but you're going to read along with me. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 25 says this: "The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent.' So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those who are called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength." Pray with me. Father, help us this morning to hear your voice. Help us to understand more fully what you want us to know. Give us true wisdom today. We ask this, Father, in your name. Everyone said, amen. You may be seated. The passage we just read gives us 3 points to consider this morning. So let's break down this passage together to discover these things. The first point is found in verses 18 and 19. Let's look at them again. Go ahead and put 18 up there for me, Chris. There it is. Okay. "This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans." Nope, that's... Oh, no, that's too bad. Okay. Well, hopefully you have it in front of you. It's up back there, but it's not up here. I'm going to read it for you. Oh, it's there? Okay, good. All right. Computer's just slow this morning. Apparently the humidity is getting to the projector too. "The message of the cross is" what? "Foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God." I want to stop there for just a second. Notice that word "foolish." You see, when we think of what Jesus did on the cross from a worldly perspective, it makes no sense, right? How is dying victory? It makes no sense. To the world, it doesn't make sense. It is foolishness to them. But those of us who have accepted the message of the cross, it is power. There is true power in salvation, amen? Let's go on to verse 19. "As the scriptures say, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent.'" Now, some of you are very, very wise, or let me just say, intelligent people, and this may be offensive to you. Wait, he's going to discard my smartness? My intelligence? Yes. Because if it doesn't, as we're going to learn today, if it doesn't stay connected to Christ, your intelligence is useless. It means nothing in the end. So our first point this morning is this. The unwise do not understand the cross and its power. The unwise do not understand the cross and its power. When we are following anything other than Christ, Paul tells us that we are headed for destruction. In fact, Paul says the message of salvation is considered foolish to those who choose not to believe. However, when we follow Christ and believe in the salvation that flows from the cross, we know that salvation is the very power of God. Paul restates Isaiah 29:14 and verse 19 this way. The wisdom of the wise will be destroyed, and the intelligence of the intelligent will be discarded. Paul wants us to understand something here. The people who do not follow the cross cannot understand the truth. If you don't follow Jesus, if you don't put your life in him, in his hands, you can't have true wisdom. I don't care how smart you think you are not smart if you're not following Jesus. It's that simple. This is the truth that matters, folks. Jesus' death on the cross is all that matters. I don't care how much you know. It's not until we choose to follow Christ that the Holy Spirit begins to fill us with truth and understanding. Look at what Solomon writes in Proverbs 1:7. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Solomon is regarded as one of the most intelligent, if not the most intelligent human being that's ever lived. And here he is telling you that true knowledge is found in the fear of the Lord. Faith, trust, awe in God. How many of you have ever heard of the famous astrophysicist Stephen Hawking? Okay, if you have your bulletin and you have the insert, I put his quote here. I'm going to read this for you. Stephen Hawking is regarded as one of the most intelligent humans to have ever lived, certainly of my lifetime. But can I submit that while he is filled with knowledge, he was not a wise human being? Pastor Michael, how can you say such things about such a brilliant person? Listen to Hawking's own words. We are each free to believe what we want. And it's my view that the simplest explanation is that there is no God. No one created the universe, and no one directs our fate. Can there be a more ignorant statement by a more intelligent person? You know, the reality of this quote is that if we went into our schools, our universities, this is what's being taught. This is the wisdom of the world, right here. I mean, think about it. Stephen Hawking was an astrophysicist, right? His whole job, his whole life was dedicated to looking at the universe, the vastness of the universe, the intricacies, the complexities of the universe. And the whole time he misses God. He's staring God in the face. God's wonder, God's beauty, and he rejected it. He was not a wise human being. He never saw God in any of it. Isn't that crazy? I mean, I can walk outside. I don't even need to look at the stars and the moon and the planets, and I am in wonder. This guy's looking like through the Webb telescope at all kinds of things, and he misses God. This is not a referendum on Stephen Hawking in his life. But it's to say that if he is truly one of the wisest people in my generation, or most intelligent rather, then I think it's important to understand that if he didn't believe in Jesus, and the Bible says that following Jesus is number one, and that's what makes you wise, then he's not a wise person. Doesn't matter how intelligent he is. Let's go back and look at 20 through 23. Paul says, so where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? People like Stephen Hawking. God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. So for those of us who are believers, when we look at that quote by Stephen Hawking, we think that is foolish, right? Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. This is the most true statement in the entire Bible as far as I'm concerned. Foolish preaching can save people. I'm like, thank you. Thank you for Paul putting that in there. It's important. It makes me feel good. Now I don't feel so bad about myself, okay? He says, it's foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven. I mean, think about it. For years and years and years, decades, decades, centuries and centuries, the Jews were asking for their Savior, right? They were crying out for their Savior, asking for signs and wonders. And then God gives him the Savior. And what did they do? They thought he was foolish. They missed it. Many of them missed it. The ones who were tasked with being the ones to know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the priests, the rabbis, they missed it. Isn't that crazy? The ones who were supposed to be intelligent, the ones that are supposed to know God things, missed it. They missed Jesus. And it's foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. You see, we all can fall into that trap of trying to know more. Look at, I am not a super intelligent human being. I recognize that. I was not called to be an astrophysicist or a doctor, right? I wasn't called to be a mathematician. Tommy's probably like, we're glad that Pastor Michael's not a mathematician. I was called to preach what the world thinks is foolish, right? But here's what I do know. That if I only sought to gain human wisdom and knowledge, I'd be missing the most important truth there is. Verse 23, so when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. So when you share your testimony, when you share the gospel with people, and they kind of recoil and think you're spouting things that are just ridiculous, Paul's telling you that's the reaction you should expect. Right? Who's responsible for the results, church? God. So it doesn't matter how they react. Your responsibility is to share the gospel, to share the truth. And let God do with it as God sees fit, as God is capable. This part of our message leads to our second point. Worldly wisdom or the pursuit of knowledge does not achieve salvation for us. Back in the early days of the church, there was a group called the Gnostics. It's kind of one of those words like kernel, where there's a G in front of the N that makes no sense. I should have put it up on the screen for you, but Gnostics were this group of Christians who believed that if they just gained enough understanding, if they just knew enough about God, they would be saved. This is after Jesus. All they needed was this. They didn't need anything else. All they needed was Jesus. And they pursued knowledge. And that's why there are no Gnostics these days in the church. There's no sect that we have a church called the Gnostic Church. Like, it just doesn't exist anymore. Because the truth is, that's all you need. Right? It's not as complicated as we try to make it out, is it, church? In verse 20, Paul says that God takes back the wisdom of the world and makes it look utterly foolish. Let me go back to Stephen Hawking for a second. He accrued so much knowledge. He was incredibly intelligent. But again, he also missed the most important thing that was staring him straight in the face his whole life. And he had gone to church in his life. He had been given the opportunity to accept Jesus and he rejected it. Now, Hawking knows better than any of us the truth, doesn't he? Hawking has passed away, so he knows better than any of us what the real truth is. For better or for worse. The wisdom of this world is foolishness in the sight of God. And I would go so far as to say that the pursuit of knowledge and understanding, when it's apart from God, simply leads to darkness and confusion. This is not to say that worldly knowledge is unimportant, but it is to say that worldly knowledge has to be put in proper context. And it must be tethered to truth, to the truth and the reality of God. Now, Charlie and I were having a long discussion three weeks ago, Charlie. And I'm not going to share my whole conversation with Charlie with you about things. I don't even know all the things we talked about. But we basically talked about the world, and we talked about the evidence of creation and that sort of thing. You know, scientists can look at ourselves. They can look at plant life and rocks and all of this stuff, and they see evolution, and they see this random chaos that took place to make who we are today. You know what I see? Because I'm tethered to truth, the truth. I see creation. I see an intelligent designer. I see a God who with his own fingers formed me. You see, there's a difference when you have the truth. When you have that connection to the cross, it changes your perspective, even on science. The wisdom of this world cannot bring salvation, nor can it bring peace. Only the power of God through the Holy Spirit can do that. Let's look at our last part of the passage this morning, verses 24 and 25. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. The foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Our final point this morning is this. True wisdom, truth, and understanding can only be found in Christ. It's that simple. I know this is not new ground for many of you. We've basically seen this through the entire passage. However, in these last couple verses, Paul solidifies the truth for us. You see, Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. And because Christ sent his Spirit to live inside of us, we each have access to God's wisdom and God's power. And it's because of his death, his resurrection, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Paul says this in Colossians 2:3. In him, meaning Christ, lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In him. It's not in a book. You're not going to find all the wisdom and treasures of wisdom and knowledge through a textbook in your college. It doesn't mean it doesn't matter. Or your high school. Again, doesn't mean it doesn't matter. True wisdom and understanding can only come through Jesus Christ. If you don't take the time to make this a priority in your life, you are missing it. Anybody who comes in my office throughout the week will tell you that almost every single day, my Bible is open being used. And that's not to pat myself on the back. That's to say, this book matters to me. I read this every day because it's important. It's the foundation of everything that I do, everything that I say. If it weren't, I'd just be a fool. You may have heard this cliche before, this saying. Some atheist would tell you that you're a fool for following Jesus. You're wasting your life, right? I'd rather be a dead fool than a wrong atheist. I'm just saying, right? I would rather be wrong about Jesus and be a fool in the grave where it doesn't actually matter than if I'm right and all of this is true, this book is true, I wouldn't want to be an atheist and find out that you're wrong. right? Let me begin to close with this. There are three simple things to remember this morning. First, true wisdom begins with a humble heart that acknowledges the need for God's guidance. You see, you cannot tell me that you are smart enough to lead your own life. Charlie's cracking up back there. Trust me, you are going to make mistakes if you do it by yourself. How many of you can say you've never made a mistake doing it your own way? Come on, somebody's got to think that way. Nobody? Well, good. We're at least humble enough to admit that we're not smart, too smart, right? We can very easily fall into a trap from the enemy of thinking that all we need to do is add enough information to our brains and then we're going to be okay. How does this manifest? Well, in the church, it manifests, I just need more Bible study. Man, if I could just study my Bible all the time, if I could just spend every moment of my life in the Bible, I will be the best God follower ever. Can I tell you that if you spend all the time reading this book and not putting what it says in practice, you're also a fool. Just having knowledge of the Bible, Satan knows all these scriptures too. Have you ever thought of that? Satan knows the Bible probably better than you do. It's not just about knowledge. It's about taking what's in this book. If you are a wise person, if you take what God says and you put it into practice and do what he tells you to do, that's what makes you wise. I'm not saying that Bible study is bad. We do Bible study. We believe in Bible study in this church. I just said a bit ago, this is the foundation for me, right? But if all that we're concerned about is reading it and knowing the Bible, and it doesn't lead us to action for the kingdom, then it is worthless. Because salvation is not just about us. Salvation is about everybody who doesn't believe that's out there. And everybody who doesn't believe who's here. Because there are people in our midst who haven't made the decision to follow Jesus. Second, the pursuit of worldly knowledge without God's wisdom leads to confusion and emptiness. We can be incredibly intelligent and filled with all kinds of knowledge and miss out on the truth that can save our souls. Surrendering our entire lives, our entire selves to Christ, and allowing his Spirit to fill us with truth is the answer for your life. Finally, the cross is the ultimate display of God's wisdom and his power. The cross is not just some symbol. Some of us have them on our cars. Some of us wear them around our necks. I've known people who sin a lot and don't believe in Jesus who wear crosses around their necks. That's foolish because it's not just a symbol. Jesus died on that cross. That cross means a whole lot more than just wearing it around our neck or on our bracelet or whatever. It's the reality that God brings power and authority to those who follow Jesus. Pray with me, church. Father, as we reflect on this verse over the next week, help us to remember that true wisdom, truth, and understanding can only be found in you. Help us to see that the cross is not just a symbol we wear or that we put on the wall somewhere. Help us to remember the cross is the ultimate display of your wisdom and your power for our salvation. Father, help us to seek after your wisdom. Help us to hold fast to the truth found only in you. Father, may we be filled with understanding as we journey from chaos to clarity in our faith. God's people said, amen.